All right, so going over chapter 11, page 430, water-soluble vitamins. I don't want to spend a ton of time detailing all of these vitamins. They all have their own unique functions, and even though it's just the B vitamins B and C, there's many, many, many B vitamins that you'll learn in here. And really, if you want to learn more about a specific one, I'll have you read that individual section. But as far as the B and C vitamins, there isn't really a ton of test questions that come up on it on the actual FNS exam. And in fitness, you really don't run into like a ton of like, oh, I'm going to supplement with vitamin C or vitamin B for maybe a little bit in pre-workouts. You might get some vitamin B compounds, B6, B12, to try to boost some energy levels or stimulate some energy production sort of thing. And then vitamin C, just some basic antioxidant properties and immunity stuff. So let's look at page 430. So water-soluble vitamins, once again, they are going to be soluble into water. Hey. And then they'll be absorbed through the intestinal lining. And they're absorbed through the intestinal lining straight into the blood. And then from the blood, they get passed on to the liver. And then they're used by the liver for their necessary functions. So B vitamins. Let's talk about the B vitamins.
BS.
The what? The bees. Yes. So basically, the B part of what does it say? B vitamins primarily act as coenzymes. They act as coenzymes, which remember, like I said before, B vitamins are, since they act as coenzymes, they can act for act as coenzymes to assist in the processing of energy. For instance, mitochondrial energy. But that doesn't mean that they have energy associated with them, if that makes sense. Okay? So they can assist as coenzymes in energy production. And that's kind of what they're trying to show you with the coenzyme-enzyme partnership in the top right of page 431, figure 11.1. The enzyme alone has no attractive docking site for what needs to react. So the coenzyme fills that spot. With the coenzyme in place, the reactive molecules are attracted to the site. And then once the two attracted molecules are to the site, then they leave as a new substance. Cool. So the first B vitamin that they go over is thiamine. Okay. Thiamine was discovered because of this disease called beriberi. The ancient Chinese writings determine the disease beriberi, and functions of thiamine, just some basic functions. They're going to be act as coenzymes. The vitamin portion of the coenzyme thiamine pyrophosphate participates in a reaction known as decarboxylation, which removes the carboxyl group and releases carbon dioxide during glucose metabolism. That's what's going to assist in the production of CO2 from cellular metabolism or cellular respiration.
That's what happens when you smoke.
No, that's what happens when you breathe, normal breathing.
Oh.
Yeah, when you breathe out CO2. It was assisted in becoming CO2 by this thiamine. Sources of thiamine we'll get to. Found through most of the food supply. And pork is one of the richest foods. Legumes and peas, some nuts and seeds, and fish and seafood are some great sources. Most of the time, our thiamine, though, comes from enriched grain products. That's what it says. So when you see the thiamine on the grain label, that's because it was fortified, because the government determined that it was inefficiency enough that they could, if most people eat grains, they could input it into the grain products to help deal with the deficiency. So, yeah, gives a little bit more info on that, but to tell the truth, there's not, a ton of information or test questions or any information that you really need to know about thiamine in the field of fitness, so let's move along. Oh yeah, just right there, there's some page 434, top left, you can kind of get some food sources of thiamine. You got some pork loin cooked, yay, thiamine, good stuff. All right, next we have riboflavin. Riboflavin is also a B vitamin, and riboflavin, the functions of riboflavin are going to be act as coenzymes as well, and what does it say? The riboflavin portion of the coenzyme FAD accept two hydrogens and their electrons, which is this figure 11.7. So once again, the riboflavin will accept the two hydrogens and allow for the chemical reaction to take place as a coenzyme. And the dietary, the sources for riboflavin are going to be shown here on this picture in the right side of page 437. Beef liver and then some whole grain cereals are, and once again, if it's in these whole grain cereals, typically it's fortified, it doesn't come from nature. The food processing systems add it in order to fulfill a need for society. Nothing too crazy there. Next we have niacin. Scientists first produced a substance called nicotinic acid by oxidizing nicotine from tobacco. Which basically, was discovered in 1867. And 70 years later, this dude demonstrated that nicotinic acid cured dogs of canine version of human niacin deficiency. So they basically were able to recognize that you can feed animals this nicotinic acid and decrease the niacin deficiencies. All right, functions of niacin. Yeah, just once again, another coenzyme. Nothing too crazy that you need to know. Sources of niacin. You got your beef liver again, chicken, tuna, fish, and then obviously your fortified cereals, grain products. Go for it. Kix. Oh yeah, Kix. There you go. Hey, that makes Kix healthy, right? Nutrient dense. Oh, there we go. What does it say? Yeah, I guess tryptophan, if you look on the right side of page 439, tryptophan is an amino acid that serves as a niacin precursor in the body. 60 milligrams of tryptophan yields about 1 milligram of niacin, which is kind of cool. If you get the amino acid tryptophan, you can make some niacin yourself. So, did you say you supplemented with niacin, was it?
Yeah, I cut out the statin and replaced it with niacin.
Yeah, was that to... decrease cholesterol, supposedly, or
yes, it's a replacement. Yeah, it's right now. If you don't want to go on a statin, you take super high doses. In fact, they've got the experimental people giving huge volumes of niacin.
Yeah,
and it's supposed to be doing the same thing. Like red yeast, they talk about red yeast lowering cholesterol. So
yeah,
I threw out the statin, and I doubled my niacin.
Cool, and the cholesterol got lower.
I haven't checked. Actually, my birthday's coming up, so I'm going to be setting up.
For sure. All right. Remember, hey, I have chest pains. Go check out that atherosclerosis. Let's do it. All right. Niacin deficiency is bad. Okay. Pellagra. Whatever. Red sickness is one like that. Next. Pantothenic acid is another B vitamin, and functions of pantothenic acid, once again, another coenzyme, and it is a component of coenzyme A, or coA, which is in turn or which is a component of acetyl-CoA. You may see people supplement with acetyl-CoA, which assists in energy production via the citric acid cycle or the oxidative energy system, produces some assists in producing ATP, a little energy producer. And yeah, it says the acetyl-CoA sits at the crossroads. This is at middle of page 441. Acetyl-CoA sits at the crossroads of a number of metabolic pathways, and they are both energy-generating pathways and which assist in the production of pyruvate, which will assist with producing ATP via the electron transport chain and citric acid cycle, just as energy assistance. And sources would come from, I believe, on this back part, you have, beef liver. At page 442, you got some sources. Cereals, all bran flakes, but mainly like beef liver. Mushrooms, sunflower seeds, you got some basic stuff. Turkey, sweet potato. All right, biotin. Biotin is another B vitamin that is also a coenzyme. It acts in dozens of reactions, though, and such as things like amino acid metabolism, and also turning the amino acid into glucose. Remember, I didn't say the word, but gluconeogenesis, which is basically going to be the formation of carbohydrate from a non-carbohydrate substance, which typically actually makes it as a question on the test, gluconeogenesis, which that's at the bottom of page 442 right there. The conversion of amino acids to glucose via gluconeogenesis is right there. And also the release of energy from fatty acids. So potentially assists in fat metabolism a little bit too. And sources of biotin, eggs. Never mind. I guess it doesn't have a...
What's the main point of the gluconeogenesis?
Gluconeogenesis is going to be when you don't have enough carbohydrate, we'll say, to function from, and you need quick energy, like glucose, amino acids can be turned into glucose through the process of gluconeogenesis.
So it
converts like amino acids to glucose. Yeah. Quick bite, bottom right of page 443. You may be aware that bacteria in your colon synthesizes vitamin K, but did you know that colonic bacteria also make some biotin? When synthesizing this B vitamin, these busy microbes may be pursuing a futile effort. Since the colon is downstream from the small intestine, the site of most biotin absorption, the bacteria's biotin may not be absorbed efficiently. Therefore, bacterial synthesis of biotin probably does not make an important contribution to your body's supply of biotin. Our bacteria does a lot of stuff there in our colon. Thanks, bacteria. All right, vitamin B6, one that you may have heard more about. Page 443 at the bottom. So it's a group of six compounds, okay? So these B vitamins get really tricky, and I'm glad you don't need to know them. You don't ask many questions about them because it's just a lot of information. There's the six compounds at the top of page, or the top of the paragraph on page, bottom page 443. What does vitamin B6 do? Well, we have protein metabolism. Okay, it assists in the... or metabolizing protein or metabolizing amino acids and other nitrogen-containing compounds. We have blood cell synthesis, in which literally synthesizing blood cells, white blood cells specifically, which are important for the immune system. So we could say there are immune system benefits to vitamin B6. And carbohydrate metabolism. Basically we have... gluconeogenesis, it assists in creating glucose from non-glucose or non-carbohydrate substances. Then we have, neurotransmitter synthesis and it talks about how vitamin B6, folate, and heart disease might assist in preventing heart disease or heart attacks, specifically fatal heart attacks, as it decreases the amount of homocysteine in the blood. Yeah, fun times. Other functions we have, it also converts tryptophan into the B vitamin niacin. All right, so sources of vitamin B6, which is on page 446. Go ahead and flip the page. Vitamin B6 can be found in things like chicken, turkey, pork, bananas, some Brussels sprouts, tuna. And then you also have your synthesized B6, which would, fortified in all of the grains. All right, next we have folate. Folate is going to be one. Folate typically gets its popularity in the health world as an important nutrient for the development of the fetus, and specifically the development of the fetus's nervous system. Supplementing with folate as a pregnancy vitamin can assist in a healthy baby. That's why they fortify a lot of the grains with folate, specifically breads and things like that. It starts off talking about folate as saying eating raw liver, unappetizing though it may be, has long been known to cure the degenerative type of anemia, and they figured that was due to folate and vitamin B12. Functions of folate: DNA synthesis, cell division, amino acid metabolism, this is at the bottom of page 447, and maturation of red blood cells. Does it say anything about the... Oh, yeah, okay, so folate deficiency... Well, let's actually go over the sources of folate. Page 449. So in your green leafy vegetables, you're going to get some a decent amount of folate. Spinach, you have your okra, maybe some collard greens. Yeah, broccoli, that sort of stuff. Oh, here you go. Folate deficiency. Usually it talks about... Oh, there it is. Okay, so folate deficiency is associated with a lot of bad things. That's why if you turn the page to page 450, it gives you a lot of instances in which folate can be bad, or a lack of folate can be bad. So since the government recognized that folate was very essential and needed, they recommended inputting it into the cyst or into the most eaten products, which were grains. And the bad things that can happen are heart disease, megaloblastic anemia, neural tube defects. This is where typically, once again, it gets its popularity from, this folate. So neural tube defects, a large body of evidence links poor folate status during early stages of pregnancy to an increased risk of birth defects known as neural tube defects. In this type of birth defect, the neural tube fails to encase the spinal cord during early fetal development. This causes a number of disorders, including spina bifida and anencephaly. And these defects in the central nervous system occur within the first 30 days after conception. So prenatal vitamins, like if you're trying to get pregnant as a female, typically include an adequate amount of folate. And then the neural tube defect, you can kind of see that at the bottom right of page 451. All right. Okay, then we have B12, one of the more popular B vitamins. B12 is going to, its main function that we know it for is typically in energy drinks, as it's going to assist in the as a coenzyme in energy production. So, yeah, it gives you some good chemical reactions that lead to the use of B12 as a vitamin. And yeah, you can go through it there. Page 453 gives you a little bit more. So, where do we get B12 from? Pretty much any meat. Any meat has a good amount of B12. So beef, liver, obviously. Seafood like crab, Alaskan king crab, cooked. You got salmon, lobster, tuna, beef, lamb, beef sirloin. Yeah.
Like how in between all the beef you have Cheerios
and cereal. I know, right? And remember, all of those grain products are typically fortified with these B vitamins. Yeah, but when you guys get the jitters from having like a 5-hour energy, that's due to the extremely high B12 content. Yeah.
I thought I was about to die.
Yeah.
Is that what it's in?
Out of the 5-hour energy, I only had 2 hours worth of energy, and I still felt like I was going to die.
Mine was like 10 minutes.
You only had 10 minutes worth of energy? All right. What did you ask?
Is that what's also in pre-workout?
So yes, some pre-workouts contain B vitamins to enhance energy production via the mitochondria, so yes. Give you a little boost. Yeah, the B vitamins get me a little jittery, as opposed to caffeine's a little bit more. Hey, zoom, zoom. All right, and finally we get to vitamin C. Vitamin C, everybody knows of. What do we typically consider vitamin C or think of it when we think of vitamin C?
Orange juice.
Oh, yes, maybe some oranges or citrus fruits. What else? What is it, or what do we think of it when we're taking it, or why wouldn't we supplement with it? What does it do?
Antioxidant
for sure. When do people take vitamin C? Maybe
boosts
the immune system. There we go. Yeah. So, let's talk about that. Main reason why they discovered vitamin C was because of scurvy. Okay, scurvy. When the age of exploration happened, in which people were taking ships across the seas to discover new lands, they would be months on end on ships, and they didn't have any citrus fruits or any specific vegetables that had vitamin C in them, and all of a sudden these sailors were coming down with this disease called scurvy, and basically this one dude, which his name I guess is James Lind, a 30-year-old ship surgeon in the British Navy, did a trial and basically evaluated 6 therapies for scurvy and showed that patients who received lemons or oranges recovered from scurvy completely. And then, which allowed other people to recognize that you need to take citrus fruits overseas and make sure you have them on board. And I think his recipe for curing scurvy was literally a glass of water with the juice of 1 squeezed lemon, something like that. Got some vitamin C. And yeah. And then they recognized in 1930 that the substance responsible for curing scurvy was this vitamin C. All right. And yeah. So it is an antioxidant that assists in collagen synthesis, antioxidant activity, obviously, iron absorption, the vital cell compound, so building organelles inside the cell, and then obviously immune function. So really quick, since most people talk about immune function with vitamin C, vitamin C enables lymphocytes and other cells of the immune system to function properly. This is at page 457. Based in part on the vitamin's importance to immunity, vitamin C has been reputed to prevent or cure the common cold. However, studies show that at best, vitamin C may slightly reduce the duration of a cold in people exposed to brief periods of severe physical exercise or cold environments. Because vitamin C is used in cellular systems that break down and clear drugs from the body, drug use also can boost vitamin C requirements. Yeah.
So that means you would need more.
Potentially, yes, I guess so. Drugs are bad, okay?
Okay.
Sources of vitamin C, most people already know, but surprisingly, you're going to get a ton of vitamin C from green leafy vegetables as well. So you don't need these citrus fruits if you're eating things like broccoli or Brussels sprouts or spinach even. Kale, sweet potato, I mean, you got your cauliflower, yeah. Green leafy vegetables get you a ton of vitamin C, and broccoli especially. So one cup of broccoli has almost exactly as much vitamin C as one cup of orange juice. Good times. Yeah, exactly, without the crazy amount of fructose associated with the vitamin or orange juice and stuff like that. So we talked about scurvy being the vitamin C deficiency. That's pretty much all you would need to know as far as that goes. Vitamin C toxicity, really, if you just go crazy on it, you might have some issues, but really we're able to excrete it very well via our urine, so it's not too considered to be toxic. That's pretty much all I wanted to go over for that chapter. So when it comes down to understanding questions around B vitamins or C vitamins or the water-soluble vitamins, you just need to know that the water-soluble vitamins are going to be B and C. B has a lot of vitamins associated with it, like B6, B12, folate, niacin, thiamine, riboflavin, biotin, all of these sort of things. And whenever you see all these, like, oh, 100% daily value of biotin or riboflavin, you get that pretty dang easily. All you gotta do is just eat some meat, and you're good to go. One thing you'll notice with all the vitamins that we've gone over so far is that they can almost all be obtained through meat and vegetables. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to eating, or they can all be obtained through meat and vegetables, just a mixture of many vegetables, okay? Eat some spinach, broccoli, asparagus, kale, Brussels sprouts, cauliflower. Mix up those sort of foods, and you're 100% good on all vitamins and all minerals too, which we'll get into. But with a little bit of meat too. Also, as far as B vitamins goes, they assist in energy production. They do not provide energy. Be careful on that one. That's the way the test question might be worded. And vitamin C is almost never any questions ever come up on that, because people, it's so common for people to understand where you might get vitamin C and that sort of thing, and what it might do, boost the immune system, stuff like that.
So vitamin
B assists in energy production. It's a coenzyme for energy production. It does not produce energy or contain energy. Just be careful with that. All right. That's about it. We'll do the study questions on page 463 and go over those.